Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Thank you. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And what a blessing this has been to me to look at the Sermon on the Mount, to look at the sweet spot, if you will, of Jesus' teaching. And no one ever taught like Jesus. No one ever said so many different things in so few words. And His Word is sufficient. It's everything that we need. And we are grateful to assemble to read His words and to commemorate all that Jesus said and did. If you would, we're going to go to prayer as we begin and ask God's favor over this service. So please pray with me. So Father, we approach Your throne and we're asking for grace in the mighty name of Jesus. We trust in His sacrifice. He died in our place. Father, we're asking for help here in 2020. You know all of our problems. You know our needs. And Father, You are so powerful and rich in heaven, and there's nothing that You will withhold from Your children if we ask. And we ask, Father, for grace and encouragement and strength. This morning I pray as we study a portion of Your Word that it might be life and food for our souls, and it might encourage us, and we might put these things into practice as we go out into the world and just continue, Father, to bless the Main Street Church of Christ in all the different ministries which we're involved with, and especially this local congregation and our work to the most needy and vulnerable and to the poor. And so, Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Jesus gives us these words. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Are figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." And so Jesus is giving us a rather important and strong warning. He says to beware of false prophets. And so first off, we might ask, what is a prophet? Well, in the Bible, a simple definition, a prophet is that person which is the mouthpiece of God. They are God's representatives, His go-between, speaking, "This is what the Lord says to the people." They have God's authority. And isn't it interesting and no surprise to us that the different false teachers and false prophets that we hear are always claiming to talk to the Lord, always claiming to hear from Him and represent His authority as they're asking for more and more money to support their lavish lifestyle and take money from the poor in order to buy expensive homes and jet airplanes. But we need to notice here that they're claiming to have divine authority, claiming to hear from the Lord. The Old Testament is full of examples of lying prophets who do not speak by the Spirit of God, but they're speaking by entirely different spirits. And the case could be presented to support the idea that the prophets themselves are deceived. They think that they're hearing from the Most High God, but in actuality, they're hearing from other spirits and from demons. And this is the doctrines of demons that they are preaching. And the people, as Jeremiah tells us, they like it that way. They want to hear the false teaching. It's much like unruly children who don't want to obey rules. They want to go to bed when they want to go to bed, and they want to eat candy and Skittles and disobey their parents to their own detriment. And this is the way many people are. Jeremiah tells us in the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 30, "An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land, And this is descriptive of our country. An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the United States of America. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their own direction. And then notice this, my people love to have it so. But what will they do when the end comes? And here's a clear reference to the speedy return of Jesus Christ. What are we going to do when Jesus comes back if we've been listening to these false prophets? And it's no coincidence that the largest church in the United States of America is run by Joel Osteen, who claims to have over 40,000 adherents and many more who listen over TV and different avenues such as that. And so the idea is that people, they like what he preaches. They don't want God. They don't want what the Bible is teaching. They don't want the old rugged cross. They don't want to take up their cross daily. Jesus is not enough for these people. They want the cars. They want the prosperity. They want the comfortable life. This is their God. These are the things that they're seeking after. And so why is this so important? Well, there's plenty of people who, even in this own congregation, who frequent this place, who watch these type of people on TV. I have been shocked and surprised at how many different people follow these false teachers and will listen to someone like Joel Osteen. And so we need to be wise and we need to beware, just like Jesus said, as long as there are sheep, there are going to be wolves. And we need to be awake to this warning. And sometimes in circles such as our own, we poke fun at false teachers. We make fun of Joel Osteen. We make fun of what Benny Hinn said. But there are many people who follow these different lies, and we need to be extremely cautious. It's no laughing matter. Can you see a shepherd, or can you see sheep laughing as a wolf comes in their own midst? This is a very serious and dangerous situation. And as I've said, I've been extremely shocked at the different people within the church who will entertain this different gospel. That's what Paul is so astonished by in Galatians, that the Galatians had so quickly become bewitched. They had so quickly deserted the gospel of Jesus and turned to another gospel, which is no gospel at all. And so we need to be on our toes and understand that we do not have the authority to lay another foundation than that which Christ has laid. And so we have this wisdom here in John chapter 10, verse 3. And we're following this theme here that Jesus so beautifully uses of sheep and shepherds. He says, "The sheep hear his voice," speaking of Jesus, "and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." And so the question is not, was it a good sermon, or whether this individual is a good speaker, or how it makes us feel, but the question that we must ask is this teacher, is this so-called man of God representing the teaching, the thoughts, the things that Jesus stressed over and over and over again, the things which Paul taught and repeated and stressed, are these the same things that we are being taught by these different teachers? If they're not teaching these same principles, if they're teaching different things, if they're adding things to the Word of God, if they're subtracting things, we need to run for our lives. We need to beware of false prophets. And this is how Jesus describes these false prophets, "who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And we cannot be neutral about wolves. They are bent on destruction. And if we allow them into our midst, they will destroy the sheep. And I've personally had firsthand, I've witnessed this. I can give testimony of this picture which Jesus is painting. Just imagine a group of sheep and imagine the destruction of having a wolf in their midst. This is a serious, serious and deadly, dangerous situation. And Jesus in his teaching, he had no tolerance for these individuals who caused others to sin. And we find perhaps some of the strongest language in the New Testament speaking to those who cause and lead the sheep of God to turn away. And so, once again, can you imagine a shepherd who paid no attention to wolves who were among his flock? Can you picture, can you imagine this scene? And can you imagine a shepherd saying the following? Oh, I'm a tolerant and accepting shepherd. I allow the wolves to come in with the sheep. This is going to be a bloody situation. The shepherd is responsible for the blood. But how much greater if we translate this to spiritual things to understand the destruction of the soul of men. And we need to consider how many of these wolves, speaking to shepherds, have we disfellowshipped? How many times have we stood up for the sheep of God? And so we should not sell the church, and we should not sell souls, even if these wolves are giving money to the flock. We have many examples in the New Testament of wolves being attracted and coming and attacking the sheep. The Apostle John gives us a beautiful description in 3 John, beginning in verse 9. He speaks of this character who is called Diotrephes in 3 John, beginning in verse 9, chapter 1. He says, I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, and so there's a quality and characteristic of this false teacher. And notice here, it's when John is absent. It's when the shepherd is gone that the wolves come in and prey upon the sheep. And so this first characteristic is he likes to put himself first. Says he does not acknowledge our authority. And I can't think of anyone who is more distinguished. The apostle which our Lord loved, the apostle John. If there are wolves that did not respect the apostle John, they're not going to respect the shepherds that we have in our time. Verse 10, so if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And so we see John's clear instruction that John is going to confront this wolf to his face. He's going to point out the things that he is doing. And so if we want to be a leader of the church, if we want to shepherd the flock, we cannot be afraid of confrontation to call out what the wolves are doing. And notice the description, talking wicked nonsense against us. And this is something that I've definitely experienced and something that we probably can relate to pretty well. And not content with this, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. And so we have a picture here of a completely upside down church. This false brother Diotrephes is doing the exact opposite of what needs to be done. This is reverse disfellowshipping. He's putting out the true children of God. And so we need to hear these words from Jesus to beware. We need to hear these words from the Apostle John. And we need to be bold, and we need to confront these wolves and not allow them to remain in the congregation, because they are going to turn the church upside down and do terrible destruction to the precious souls of Christ. And Jude also warns us as well. We have another example in Jude chapter 1, verse 4. He says, "For certain people have crept in unnoticed," and this sounds like a wolf to me, very sneaky and sly behavior here, "who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." And I believe the way that they deny the Lord Jesus is here in the text, and that they make license for sin, and they say it's okay to engage in sensuality and loose behavior. We don't have to follow the pattern of Jesus Christ, but you can live however you want to live. And so this is why Jesus tells us the following instruction. And this is why Jude mentions that we are to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is the job of a godly shepherd. We are to have tenderness, the tenderness of a parent, a mother, and a father for the sheep. But we're also to have the same attitude as a father to protect the sheep. And what does nature teach us? What would happen if we tried to get near to a baby bear? What would the mother do to us, right? We would see this defense and this aggression. And so when we look at creation, we see the how essential it is to stand up and to protect the true children of God. And so as we continue, I want us to look at Matthew 10:16. And here's an interesting statement by the Lord. He says to his disciples, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves." And so first off, this is an extremely odd statement. And this doesn't represent the typical behavior of a shepherd. Think about this again. I'm sending you out to a place where everyone literally wants to eat you alive, yet this gives us an accurate description of the Christian life. This is not a rosy picture of your best life now, which is presented by many false prophets. And maybe we ask, why is this the case? I think the simple answer is that we might exercise our faith, that we might trust a protector, that we might trust Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, to protect us from the wolves. This life is so very short, and we have but few opportunities to either trust our Savior or to distrust Him. And I hope that we will trust Him like those great followers of God mentioned in Scripture. It's easy to trust the Lord if we're beside still waters, if we're in the green pasture, but it's when we go through the valley of shadow of death that we need to trust our shepherd to deliver us. And so Paul, along with the first century church, they would have no understanding. They would not be able to relate to our cultural Christianity. It would make about as much sense as sheep and wolves having a good time together. These two groups just don't get along, and it's nonsensical. And so the Bible warns us of this conflict. It warns us of the troubles and the many tribulations that we're going to have to face in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so the world had no problem in crucifying the Lamb of God. And so as we reflect on this, as we become like Him, as we reflect His image and the glory of God and His likeness rest upon us, the more tasty we become to the wolves. It is enough for his disciples to be like their master. And we are not to think it strange when we encounter different sufferings and when wolves come after sheep and we have similar persecutions. And so Jesus' words clearly indicate this persecution, and without a doubt, it is a sign of conversion. And so we might ask this question, why are we not being attacked if we're sheep and we're in the midst of wolves? Wolves are not going to attack wolves, but wolves are going to attack sheep. And so Jesus goes on to tell us how we're going to recognize these false teachers. He says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Are figs from thistles? And one thing I find extremely interesting in the New Testament is that the disciples did not recognize the identity of Judas Iscariot. They did not realize that he was the one who was going to betray the Christ. And I think it's plain in the text that Judas had the sheep's clothing. He had disguised his identity on the outside. He looked like a follower of Jesus Christ, but on the inside, he was a betrayer, and he was even capable of committing perhaps the worst and most heinous sin in the history of mankind. And so we're not going to understand or recognize these false teachers by their outfits, right? This disguise is too great. It's too hard to tell the difference between true teachers and false teachers by what they're wearing. This is a great and confusing disguise, but Jesus gives us a sure way that we can find these false teachers. It is by their fruits you will know them. And so by fruits, I believe this term primarily speaks, number one, to the character of Jesus Christ exhibited and living in his followers, which is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And number two, it refers to the natural influence of these qualities which bear fruit after their own kind, and they also lead to the conversion of sinners. And so 1 John, if we were to summarize the purpose of that book, it was given to help us to understand whether or not we are true children of God, to understand whether or not we are converted. We read, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Or, in other words, that we might have wisdom to distinguish the difference between a grapevine on one hand and a thorn bush. And by contrast, the Apostle John writes this book that we might look and examine the fruit and then apply it to our lives and apply it to others and see whether or not these people have been born of God. And so we have an example here. There's a theme which is carried out through 1 John. It's the idea of brotherly love. This is, I believe, the chief fruit of the Spirit, love. God is love. When someone has love, this is a sign that they have the fruit of Jesus Christ in their life. And so 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for our brothers. And so here's the sign. Here is the fruit of God. Compare this with different teachers. Do we see this at work? Do we see the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ exhibited in the lifestyle of these different teachers, the ones we see on TV, the ones in our churches? They either have it or they don't. This is a pretty simple test that we can apply to those around us. And John gives us an example in the next verse. He says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And there's a wonderful example that we can simply apply to others. And so some have little to no concern for the church. They're completely lacking of this brotherly love. It's like a barren tree. You come up to it and there's no fruit. They're not concerned about the church, its orphans and its widows, and they have little regard for the lost, let alone their own soul. And have you ever walked up to a fruit tree and examined it and looked for fruit? Just a couple days ago, I got to visit my family's place just for a day. And about 4 years ago, I had planted a number of different fruit trees. And as I walked up to them, I really had one thing in mind. I was looking for fruit. I was concerned, you know, about whether they're healthy and what they look like. But really, I'm looking for one thing, and I'm looking for fruit. And so as I was looking from a distance, I saw that all the trees had beautiful leaves. And this is the way it is as we examine different teachers. From a distance, it's really hard to tell if these are sheep or if they're just wolves in disguise. The leaves are beautiful. And you won't find people at the roadside stand selling leaves. You really won't get a good price for leaves. And the leaves of religion is something that is not pleasing to the Lord. And so it's essential that we get up close to those trees. And I believe that this is what Paul has in mind when he writes Timothy. And he gives a list of different qualities that should be present in an elder. In order to see these things, you're going to have to get up close. You're going to have to examine his life. You're going to have to see the way he interacts with his family. You're going to have to see his children and a number of different other things. And so I went up to the pear trees, and I didn't see any pears as I got up close. And this is the way that many Christians are. As you get up, or so-called Christians, you get up close, and they're absent of brotherly love. You just don't see this Christ-likeness living in their heart. But then I went and I looked at a couple apple trees that I had planted, and they were completely covered and loaded down with hundreds and hundreds of apples. And so on the other hand, as we get up close and we examine the true child of God who has been born again, we are amazed at the richness, as the fullness of the fruit and the brotherly love and the concern for missions and the concern for the lost and the sacrifice that they have, that looks like that same attitude which was in Jesus Christ. And so we are called simply to examine, and we will know them by their fruit. And so if we want to know if we're saved or not, do we have the fruit of Jesus Christ? If we want to know if we have a true or a false teacher, we need to look and examine their fruit. And so as we continue, Jesus says, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Are figs from thistles? And Jesus here is speaking of nature. And sometimes we think that we can teach a thorn bush to produce grapes. And Jesus is making this clear that this is an impossibility. Unless someone is born again, unless they're converted, unless they're regenerated, unless they become a child of God, they will not by nature do the things that Christians do. And we have no more promise to teach these thorn bushes to be Christians than we do for cats to swim or to fly or to do things which is against their nature. And I personally have spent a great amount of time trying to get goats to do the things that sheep do, trying to get wolves to do the things that sheep do, and it is impossible. This is something that must be from God, and we need to be wise to this teaching. And so 1 John 3:9 tells us this is the reason. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. And so what a contrast, what a distinction between those who have been born of God and are truly his children. 1 John 5:18 goes on, it restates the same thing, but it adds this: God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. God is not going to let his children run wild. He is not going to let them continue to sin over and over again. And we need to have wisdom as we're trying to lead people to Christ, as we're trying to shepherd the flock. If someone continues in sin, we need to be open to the fact that they are a thorn bush and quit trying to create a miracle that only God can do. And so as we continue in verse 17, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. And so as we take this teaching which Jesus has given us, as we zoom out and we make broad application for our country, the time in which we live, this is a really difficult and trying time. And we ask, what's the problem in America? What is the greatest issues that we face? I would submit to you, based on Scripture, that the problem is not so much the presence of evil. It's not so much the presence of false prophets such as Joel Osteen and the like, who don't teach Jesus Christ. But the great problem is the absence of true shepherds who are following in the footsteps of Jesus, who are leading the flock. And here's one of many examples that I could give. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17, we have that great story of Elijah, the prophet of God, this mighty prophet. If you remember, there were 450 false prophets of Baal on one hand, and then on the other hand, there's only one prophet of the Lord, and that contest was settled very fast on Mount Carmel as Elijah called to the living God, and the living God heard and answered and sent fire from heaven. And how wonderful it is that one prophet, true prophet, can take on 450 false prophets. And so the problem is not so much the evil that is prevalent. It's not so much that there are wolves running amok. It is that the shepherds are not defending the sheep. It's that the shepherds are not standing up. And the number one deterrent for wolves is a shepherd. Wolves are not going to come around if they see the shepherd. And so it is the true men of God that have fallen asleep. It is the watchmen who have fallen asleep and who have neglected their high office. We've become preoccupied with feeding ourselves instead of feeding the sheep and going after the sheep, pursuing them. And meanwhile, the wolves are ravaging the sheep. Oh, that God would raise up shepherds in this land to shepherd the people, to seek the lost, and to rescue those who have gone astray and who are being attacked by the wolves. What a wonderful example and an allegory that we have in David, the young shepherd boy who defended his sheep, the people of God that might represent, from the lion and the bear. We need the Lord to raise up people like this who are bold, people like the Apostle John, who are not afraid to contend with these false teachers, who work their way in, who are attracted to the sheep, who want to feed upon the souls of men. We need to be like David, and he will surely empower us against the fierceness of the lion here in the story, which represents the devil. And so I pray that this story And this example this morning from Jesus' words will encourage us to be aware, to be watchful, to understand our role, to watch out for the true sheep of God, and also to be discerning and to listen ever so clearly to what is being taught. Are these the things which Jesus taught? Are we listening the sheep? Do we know the sound of our master? Are we sitting at the feet of Jesus? Are we listening to his words? Are we contrasting and comparing those words to the things that we are hearing? If not, we need to run away. And if we are in leadership, we need to stand up to these false teachers and protect the sheep. And one last thing that I would leave you with is this is a time-sensitive issue. If we allow the wolves among the sheep, quickly they are going to destroy the sheep. And this is something that we need to react quickly. As soon as God reveals to us the false fruits of these false teachers, we read that the works of false teachers as well as godly people, they are conspicuous. They're going to come to the light. God is going to reveal to us the quality of both the true and false teachers. And once God exposes that to us, we need to be bold and to stand up to these people and confront them to protect the sheep. If you are not a child of God, if you have not been born away, born again, the Bible commands us in the second chapter of Acts, beginning in verse 32, that we are to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and this wonderful promise is open to whosoever will receive these promises and obey Jesus Christ's teaching. And I hope that you'll consider these things today.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray that this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast times. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.
Amen.